Ah, Jesus, Father, I thank you for your word, which is so precious. And I thank you for this wisdom series. And you do want us to be a success in life. And so I pray every heart now is prepared and receptive to receive that which is being shared from Dr. Cloud's incredible wisdom. And everyone said, amen. So I read this book and I thought it was so good. I thought I'd preach it. We're up to chapter 7. 9 things deja vu people do which gives them success in life and love. And number 7 is, don't play fair. Here's all you have to do to ruin every relationship in your life. Play fair. You've heard eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, good for good, bad for bad. That's only fair. And it will destroy every relationship in your life. What are we talking about? Well, think about the last time somebody hurt you or said something that, you know, got up your nose. How did you respond? Eye for an eye? Did you respond in like manner? They said something ugly and you said something twice as ugly back to them. How did that work out? If someone hurts you, what's the natural response? You're not going to treat them right, are you? No, you're going to get back. You're going to, you know. Here's some examples. One person is a little withdrawn, so the other person feels abandoned and gives them the silent treatment. It's called playing fair, and it will destroy that relationship. One person is sarcastic, so the other person responds the same. It's called playing fair. And that will destroy that relationship. One person is angry, and the other person can't help it. They're just something sparks in them, and they end up getting angry as well. Ever heard kids say, well, he started it? You know, they're in an argument, and they're just fighting tooth and nail, and you separate them, and you say, what's going on here? And, well, you did it. No, you didn't. He started it. It's immature, isn't it? Really immature. But you know, there are adults that behave like that. When we were in Hawaii years and years and years ago, and go wherever your heart tells you to go, because God wants you to have a really exciting life. About 30 years ago, God called us to go to Hawaii and start a church there with an American evangelist. And, you know, we were telling people, you know, God's called me to Hawaii. Yeah, right. God's called you to Hawaii. Well, why wouldn't God call us to Hawaii? That's the kind of God I serve. Now, my daughter Amy feels called to Africa, but I do not feel called to Africa. There's no way I'm going to sit in the mud with the natives in Mozambique. Now, if that's what spins her wheels, okay, but that's not my God talking to me. My God called me to Hawaii, where they put lays around my neck every Sunday morning. It made me feel very special. The joke is we hardly ever went to the beach at all. We didn't go there to have fun. We went there to start a church, but it was fun. Hawaii's one of my favorite places. And we, you know, whenever we're going over to... Well, we don't always, but whenever we can, if we're going to Bethel or something, we try and come back for a day or two and just spend a day in Hawaii, because God's a good God. And he put those islands there for people like you and me. What, did you think he put them there for the heathen? Well, he did too, because the sun shines on the good and the bad. But he really put them there for his kids. And he wants you to enjoy life. And he wants you to enjoy, you know, really nice places like that. So don't ever apologize for wherever God calls you. So anyway, getting back to my message. When we were in Hawaii, there was this guy who was a bass player, and I was working with him because we needed a bass player. I was building a music team, and he was a bass player. So we used him a couple of times, and I went round to his home, and oh man, on the mountain, like they got this mountain, I forgot what they call it, the mount, eh? Diamond Head. And you know, all around Diamond Head, I mean, back then, 30 years ago, they were multi-million dollar homes. I mean, they'd be worth more than that now. But like really, really not. Think you've been in a nice home? You have not been in a nice home. These were like, I walked this guy's home and I thought, strike. I didn't know people lived like this. And his mother was a real estate agent and just, you know, she had heaps of houses like this and she just gave him one. And their marriage is on the rocks. He was married, but they were separated and the marriage is on the rocks. And I was working with him, helping him. I didn't know much back then, but I was doing my best to help him get his marriage back. And they were just fighting like cats and dogs. And I thought, man, how sad. This guy's got everything in the world. This beautiful home on mountain, what? Diamond Head. And beautiful views. Living in Hawaii. This guy's got everything going for him except a bad marriage. And it was such, I remember thinking at the time, what a shame. This guy, they're just so immature. It's like, because I remember saying, I was trying to help their marriage. And oh, she said this. And she's not going to treat me like that. And she's not going to treat me like that. She says, I'm going to give her back just as good as she gives me. And I thought, how sad. They're playing fair. And I'm sure they're divorced by now. They would have been divorced. They would have been divorced within weeks. That relationship, it was going nowhere fast. And, you know, how sad that you can have everything in life except happiness because you've learned to play fair. If you want to be a success in life, don't play fair. That's for immature people. That's not fair. Therefore, I am not going to do good to you anymore. In fact, I'm going to give you exactly what you are giving me. Then you can see how it feels. Not guilty. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The problem, what I'm saying right now is really good for the person next to you. The problem, just smile, nobody knows that I'm talking about you. The problem is that by operating by the principle of playing fair, all it takes for any relationship to go sour is for one person to not perform, and then the other will do the same. There's an interlocking dependency. The other person must be good so I can be good. No one ever performs perfectly. So that's why all it takes to drag a relationship down is one failure. Under the play fair system, deterioration in a relationship is inevitable. But if I make a mistake, I want you to help me, not get back at me. If I do something wrong, I need you to be the mature one. I need you to do better, not worse. I need for you to rise above my immaturity and show me what it is to be mature in a relationship and be a force to get us back on track. I'm so grateful for my wife because I know I've not been easy to live with and I have my inconsistencies. But she is grace personified. And I've often said, you know, she's the first one to come and say, I'm sorry. And it's the most mature person in the relationship who does that. Whether they're wrong or whether they're right. The person who's the most mature in the relationship is the first one to bring a peace offering. And somebody has to. If you have not got one person at least in that relationship that's prepared to say sorry, that relationship is doomed to fail. Because playing fair will ultimately destroy the relationship. And if you are the more mature one, and I readily admit that my wife has more maturity in some areas than I do, then you are the one who has the greater responsibility. It doesn't mean you become a doormat with no boundaries and just take it, But to make things better, you're going to have to rise above needing the other person to be mature. We can do it with children, but we can't do it with adults, because we have this expectancy that adults should be mature, right? If you've got a kid, you know, two kids scrapping or something, and you can easily say to the child, look, it's my fault, blame me, okay? I'll be the person who's at fault, and let's give Mary an ice cream or something, you know, we'll make up. But try and get two adults to do that, you know. Oh, no, 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 no. The pointing of the finger. Playing fair. Tit for tat is fair and just, but the result is that the relationship is over. At least for that moment, it has broken down. After wrath and anger are vented, nothing is gained, no problem is solved. The only ones who benefit are the attorneys. This is the philosophy of the masses. Good people, fair people, get divorced every day. Fair does not work, so good people fail at relationships every day. So what do we do? Become doormats? No. Go to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yes, we are actually going to use our Bibles this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You did bring a Bible, don't you? Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Yeah, the print in my Bible is getting smaller every day. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. I think we've passed our verse. Yes, go to Romans 12. Ex-Romans. Somebody took Romans out of my Bible. Oh, there it is. I just put it back again. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's a great verse. As much as lies within you, be at peace. You can't control the other person's behavior, but as much as lies within you, you be the sort of person, you be Jesus to the other person. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, I remember sharing with someone recently, there's a law called sowing and reaping. You don't have to make sure that just desserts get served. Pray for the person. That God will, they'll find mercy, because life has a way, you know, of giving you, and the Indians call it karma, you know, dish something out, it's coming back, baby. And you don't need to be the one who does it, it's coming back. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. I used to think that was like a punishment thing, but apparently it's something that they did in the East. You know, they carry the coals around like that, like they did water and all kinds of stuff. So you'll be blessing them, giving him fire to keep his family warm. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what God wants us to do, and our relationships will change. So the answer is simple, but it's very hard to do. Give back better than you are given. People who succeed in life don't go around settling scores. They do not even keep score. 70 times 7, Jesus said. They give better than they are given and often bring the other person up to their level rather than being brought down to the level of the other. You think about that. Well, I'm not going there. That's petty. That's childish. They don't say that, but in your thinking, you should be thinking, you know, that's childish. I'm not going there. And so you step back a little bit and you have a reasoned response and you try and lift the other person to a more mature level of argument. Even banks give money to those who will repay. Big deal. The problem is if relationships work like this, as soon as there's a late payment, the relationship goes into debt, goes into a negative dynamic. We shouldn't be treating our relationships like bank deposits. The law of love has the power to turn things around. So how do DV people make this principle work? Did you want me to preach another session in November? Because I don't think I'm going to have time to finish all this. It's almost 12 o'clock.